Daniel Silk, a leading political economy analyst in South Africa. Daniel Silk, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Yeah, Simon, I'm good. Thank you very much. Good to be back with you.
No. I told you last time you're going to be one of our regulars. There is no ways I'm going to let you not do that. And I was thinking about why. I was thinking because you kind of give a really nice objective opinion. You're not aligned to anyone or anything or any think tank. And I think it's really important that we have this kind of check-in now and again, just on the state of the nation. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about today. I'm going to put it to you that since we last spoke, the social contract is under enormous strain. I think nonsensical regulations is making us doubt the powers that be. As I said, I think there's a crisis in the social contract. I want to hear your comment on that.
I think when we first started this lockdown, what are we now, nearly 2 months into it, but when we first started it, there was a broad buy-in. There was the social contract that the president has spoken about before, and I think all of us actually like the idea of a social contract. It's a feel-good kind of, a patriotic nation-building sort of thing to aspire to. But it's clear that the extent of this lockdown, the very severe nature of it, and of course, as you've correctly said, the somewhat arbitrary enforcement of micromanagement in the rules environment, and not to mention also, to be fair, the frustration and psychological wear and tear that one feels for being almost sort of captive in one's home environment, I think that all plays on the psyche, and over time it was bound to begin to unravel. And I think for all of these combined issues, we've seen an unraveling of that social compact. We've seen an irritation level creeping into, I think, the discourse for many of our associates and friends. And I think in particular, we've seen the effects of what is often the sort of, as we've said, arbitrary lockdown, the effects of that on the economy. And I think that's the biggest downer, perhaps, for all of us. The practical side of this lockdown, whilst it helps the health issue, it has, of course, a negative effect on the other side of the equation, and that's on the economy, not only for the middle classes, but for the poor as well. And we are witnessing that in front of our eyes in real time.
Daniel, how's this then going to play out the day after? Will this mean, in your opinion, that a party like the FFF will make enormous gains? Will the ANC lose? What scenarios do you see happening after lockdown from a political perspective?
Well, you raise an important point, and I've just been talking about this morning. The issue really is the day after. I actually had a slide up on a presentation I was doing the day, the day after tomorrow, but it is the day after. And the bottom line is that the day after has to present us all with a variety of confidence-building mechanisms that take us to a position which hopefully will be a lot better than the position we were in before COVID-19. You will agree with me probably that this country's economy was ailing before the lockdown, before even we'd heard of COVID-19. Sure. And we therefore need a future vision for South Africa that takes us into a fairly dramatic reboot of our economy. In the short term, though, the issue is health and managing this sort of risk, the economic risk and the risk to the lives of South Africans. And as we move into these sort of uncharted waters for the ANC in exactly how to manage it, so you are likely to see different groups at different ends of the spectrum be that bit more depressed, disconsolate, frustrated with the way government is handling things. I don't think we're going to see we haven't seen mass unrest. We haven't seen mass instability. Some have predicted mass looting in the streets. It hasn't occurred at all. But there's no doubt that I think this level of dissatisfaction can have a political effect in South Africa in the long run, and that adds to the pressure on government to begin a much smarter phasing out of the very severe restrictions that we're under right now.
Really, really interesting. And I suppose we've all got to wait and see if that happens and if they have the ability to implement what they say they want to do. Because up until now, I'm not sure that I've seen that. I've wanted to see it. I've wanted to believe it. But I'm not sure that, it's inspired all that much confidence.
Well, I have to say, and I think, you know, unfortunately, the government have not been particularly agile or efficient in the management of the economy pre-COVID. And I'm afraid to say that sort of the agility quotient, which is really needed now to be more niched in how you open the economy, you need to really look not at blanketing South Africa with a level 4 or a level 3. You need to really begin to open up specific industries, those that can be deemed relatively safe. We need to have a much more micro focus on specific industries. And it was a little bit like I was talking to an audience this morning, and I said to them, you know, it's a bit like when you were at school and the teacher used to give the whole class detention because one kid used to be disruptive. I just sort of feel that, you know, the whole country, the whole province gets a designation because we don't know how to handle some of the weaknesses in the system. So I think we need to be a lot smarter about it. I think that there's tremendous pressure from the business community, from even the scientific community, to review the lockdown as we have introduced it at the moment. And in that sense, I'm a little bit more confident that the politicians will begin to react in a more positive way. But if not, I'm afraid there will be very substantial damage to our economy.
Well, there's food for thought, Daniel Silk. That's where we're going to leave it this afternoon. And I can promise you that I'll be checking in with you in about 2.5-3 weeks' time again.
No problem. There'll be plenty to talk about.